The new job's pretty good. Yeah. I thought it was going to take me like a month to find a job because of you know, just how job searches typically go, and literally got hired the first place I walked into. So,
but yeah, we are online, and hello guys, and welcome to episode 4 of my first podcast. This is Gabe, your host. And today I have a very special guest. I have a colleague in podcasting, my friend and ex-boss, actually, at the Blue Mountain Resort, Chris Cubitt.
So long ago.
Yeah, so long ago, right, man?
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, eh?
Thanks for having me, man. I'm hyped to do your podcast.
Thank you.
You're about episode 4? This is episode 4 now?
This is episode 4, yeah. Thank you.
Cool. That's my lucky number, so
yeah. Okay.
That'll do well for us, I think.
I hope so. You know what? I really like your podcast. If you guys don't know, go visit his Facebook page and listen to his podcast. It's the semi-informed podcast, and it's about video games, and I find it very informative. Like, it's really, really good, and if you like video games, so you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, so as Gabe just said, it's a semi-informed podcast. You can catch that any podcast platform that you listen to, facebook.com/semi-informed. Email at semi.game.pod. If you do want to contact me or check out my podcast, it's about video games. So I guess that means that this is the episode of your podcast that's about video games, right?
Yes and no. I mean, like, I at the beginning wanted to talk about only about video games, but I figure I haven't been in the video games gig in so long that I decided to call it the nerd episode, because we can nerd out a little bit about video games, comic books, TV show, you know. Like, I'm wearing my lucky hat of the Punisher here, you know. Like,
yeah, you've rocked the Punisher for a while, eh?
Yeah, it's still not my favorite vigilante or superhero, but I like the skull, you know, like.
So who is Punisher?
My favorite superhero is Captain America.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because it's weird, because I've been criticizing America for a long time. Not that I don't like America, but I don't like some American policies, and I don't like their politics. But I think Cap represents what America is supposed to be, but it's not.
Yeah. America's a wild place. I mean, you've got a lot of people with a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
In many ways, and a lot of freedom of different opinions, right? I mean, of course, yeah, people should have that, but yeah, a lot of people who, like, really exercise that right to be so different,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of it leads to many people not getting along. The whole political system being designed to kind of pit people against each other.
Yeah.
And so you've got a bunch of people who probably would agree on some of the basic principles, but since your bundle of politics doesn't include these things, you have to take your whole package over here and subscribe to this. And I don't engage with politics too much here in Canada, and we do have a lot of choices of parties to choose from in the end.
You know, like, we are not free. I mean, like, we are free. I mean, we have freedom, we have liberties, you know. Somehow we have, I grew up in Italy, and I moved to Canada 6 years ago. I find that, like, as civil liberties, Canada has a lot more than countries in Europe, above all Italy. We are probably, like, you know, forced to follow a certain rigor of behavior, because also we have the Vatican Church in Rome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, a few civil liberties that are legal here in Canada are not yet legal in Italy.
Oh, really?
They're moving towards, yeah, I mean, like, pot is definitely not legal and won't become legal.
Yeah. That's a bit archaic at this point, isn't it?
Same-sex marriage is not legal. They tried, but there are too many religious politicians now. No, I mean, not agreeing with that. And it's a little bit of a problem, because I see here in Canada, despite you can be liberal, conservative, or another, but most people respect the same-sex marriage regulation, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's some things maybe we even take for granted at, you know, some point in our lives. The fact that we did just get, you know, legalization of marijuana in the last year, which, I mean, I've been, you know, I'm not even a heavy user or anything, casual myself personally, but
I mostly use the oils. You know,
like, it's a plant. It's pretty safe to take. I mean, and very helpful, in fact, when it comes to just general medication. Even if you're not using the THC portion to get high, to have CBD legalized and able to purchase it. And CBD wasn't legal before, and that's just the version of it that doesn't get you high, that helps with inflammation and sleep and pain and all kinds of things.
And I have to say, and I have to say that the legalization of marijuana helps also in the economics way, like in taxation way, because you can avoid increasing income taxes and keep it to a certain low. And, you know, tax services like alcohol and marijuana, where you can actually gain money for the government to spend on services for people, you know, like, it's a smart move for a country.
Yeah, 100%, man.
But yeah, going back to the, I didn't want to get into politics. You just said the Captain America. Sorry about that. I just said that Captain America is my favorite superhero because he really represents freedom, honor, you know, like, and, you know, like what I saw America as when I was a kid, like, you know, the land of freedom, the land of possibility, the land of opportunities. That's what Captain America represents to me. And unfortunately, living so close to America and traveling to America so often, I don't see that. And I would like to see that, you know.
Yeah. So, when I worked with you years ago, I actually remember that you told me Cap was your favorite hero. I should have known. You kind of just brought it back.
It's been a long time, man. And what's your favorite superhero?
Oh, it's hard to say because I'm not all that even into superheroes, but I guess in terms of superheroes and stuff.
Oh,
we got to go with that guy right there. That's why I have
Ninja Taro, eh?
Yeah.
Those are great.
I got Leonardo on this side.
Nice.
Eventually, once I get some money, I'll get them all. But tattoos are expensive.
Oh, yeah. I have two tattoos and no superhero tattoo whatsoever. I have a maple leaf here.
Yeah.
And the symbol of my city, Florence, like the Florence, Italy, which is kind of hard to show it now. But
we
put like a lily flower and half of the cathedral of Florence, the Brunelleschi Dome.
Yeah, very personal. I mean, not like mine, which are like General Grievous and Ninja Turtles.
I am jealous of your tattoo because I really want a nerd tattoo, as I would call like a superhero, or, you know, like video game or a manga or anime tattoo. But I haven't found the right one to have. So, and it's expensive. I don't have right now money to spend in tattoo, you know.
It is. So we used to play this before COVID happened and we all went into hiding. We used to, me and a group of guys, a couple of the guys were from the lodges this winter, which is, you know, guys from England who come up to our hometown here and spend the winter with us. We formed a pretty nice board game group. And talking about nerd stuff, like this is my culture, like video games and board games more so versus like the comic books and all that. I like that stuff, but board games are my thing. So to bring it back over to tattoos, we were playing this game called Scythe, which is like my favorite board game, one of my favorite pastimes in this whole world. We were playing this game Scythe week after week. We were doing, it has a campaign. We were doing the Scythe campaign. And one week I came to, board game day with this guy tattooed on my wrist, which is the like the C from, it's like a sickle, but it's like the C from Scythe.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get much nerdier than having like representation of your favorite board game tattooed on your body.
And I want to, you know, like to specify that nerd used to be used as a derogatory term for, you know, like geeks, or, you know, like same with geek, you know, like with for like losers. But I don't mean it as a derogatory term. For me, I grew up like, you know, watching anime or watching or reading comic books, reading mangas, or playing games. Like, I was really into Dungeons and Dragons when I was a kid, you know, like that was my gig. And video games, I haven't been into video games in so long, but my favorite console is a Nintendo 64, and I finished Mario 64 in every possible way. So, and I still would love to play Mario 64 if I had a Nintendo 64 here, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's a classic. And the Nintendo 64 was a big moment for me too when I got that console. I mean, I grew up on, like, I started with like ColecoVision. I'm that old. So
I don't think we had in Italy. What year are you talking? I think you and I are similar age. I'm 32. I think you're not that much older than me.
Or yeah, 34, actually, very close. So, I thought you were maybe a bit younger.
No. I'm in the 30s. I'm already in my 30s, and I feel it. You know.
So the ColecoVision would have been like Atari's friend, you know.
Yeah, we never seen that in Italy, unfortunately.
So when I was a little kid, that was like the one I could barely play, and then we got normal Nintendo Entertainment System. Then when we got our Super Nintendo was when I personally really got into gaming. Like, of course, on the NES, I played like Mario, the Ninja Turtles game. What else? Just a few kind of games like that. Nothing too hardcore. Like, pretty simplistic game. Mario 3 was like one of the big ones. I'd say Mario 3 and Ninja Turtles were like the two.
See, my first console has been Nintendo 64 because I wasn't really into video games when I was a kid because they were not as popular as they were in North America back in Italy. I feel that we always came a little bit later in that time. Now we get released the same date of United States or Canada. But at the time, hobbies were different. The country was different. So, I mean, like, I remember my first console was Nintendo 64. Although my first gaming experience was in Nintendo 64, I remember playing with my dad solitaire on his 486 or Pac-Man, Tetris, you know, like very, very old school game on a 486 computer system, you know, like before Pentium, before, you know, like before Microsoft was even strong in computer, you know, like, yeah, it was strong, but like they were such old systems that, like, I don't even remember how slow they were. I mean, now would be impossible to understand, you know, like
computers running on DOS, type in like / play this game.
Yeah, not even then... Windows, MS-DOS, right? Yeah, oh my God, that feels like ages ago. It was.
We used to have a computer that had DOS. I remember playing a couple of games on it. I remember a couple of games that were like too adult themed that I wasn't allowed to play. And I always like try to remember what those games were and go find them, see what I was missing out on. But I don't actually hold much back from my kids personally when it comes to games. Like, there's some things I wouldn't let them play, like, you know, like Grand Theft Auto, for example, might be, you know, it's cool to grab cars and drive around, but then when you're beating people up and stuff senselessly or driving over them, it's maybe keeping that away from the kids.
Yeah, I mean, like, there are, I guess, some boundaries that when you are a kid you need to follow. Then eventually when you become a teenager, are those boundaries, or, you know, like those rules that the parents put on you, like, they slowly disappear, you know, like the older you get, you know.
Yeah, and certainly in the case of my kids, they'll be gone way before the recommended age on the label.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like when you were a kid, rated R, 18 plus to see a rated R movie, like, is there any kid that actually waited till they were 18 to see a rated R movie?
I didn't, but I didn't see Jurassic Park until I was a bit older, but I was, and I have no problem to say, I was a really sensitive kid, and I would cry for a lot of things. So
yeah,
I feel that, like, they did a good choice. They had a good choice waiting for me a few years, because I'm nowadays pretty sensitive to few things. I don't hold back. I usually watch everything I would like to see, but there are a few things that for instance, couldn't. Everybody liked the Joker, the new movie with Joaquin Phoenix. I think it's an amazing movie, but it makes me feel oh my God, like I cannot even describe, like it's a great movie and makes me feel sick sometimes, not because I don't like it, but because it talks about topics like, you know, like mental health, like really touch me directly. So, you know, like yeah. It's tough. So I feel that like every kid, every person who has kids should probably not wait, but like see how the kids react to certain things and then decide to show, like if your kids don't have overreaction on anything, like I think you do well to not to make them oversensitive without, you know, like avoiding to show them something.
Yeah, knowing your kids for sure and knowing the subject matter is key, of course. Like you can't like show your kid a scary movie is something that's going to give them nightmares. Mm-hmm. Now, like, Mike.
I couldn't watch Edward Scissorhands. Like I saw that my parents were seeing, like I thought the guy was sad or something, and I couldn't watch the movie until I was an adult. Like every time I saw that, I felt like so sad and so scared. I don't know why, that it was crazy. That's the biggest example for me. Like, I don't know why I saw, they didn't want to show it. I saw because I got out of bed and so they were watching it, something like that. I don't remember. And that scared the shit out of me. I don't know why.
Yeah, probably the scariest one for me was It. I was probably like 4 or 5 years old when that movie came out, made for TV. And I remember being in the room when my sisters were watching it. And every time something would happen, they would cover my eyes with a pillow. So like, it's just worse. Like it just leaves it to my imagination. Yeah. What's going on. I've always, like, even at that time, I knew a movie was a movie. I can distinctly remember like not thinking that was real, but that it did give me like, keep me up at night a little bit. And you know, when I was a kid and my family rented The Exorcist, I actually made my mom put the movie in the trunk of the car. I wouldn't let the movie be in the house.
I can understand, although I don't believe in that stuff. I'd rather not risk it. You know, like when I had friends asking me to play with a Ouija board, I never. I'm not a religious person. I would describe myself as an atheist or agnostic anyway. Like I don't have much spiritualism, but I wouldn't risk to be proven wrong, you know, like.
Yeah, true. That's honestly the same. I don't believe in ghosts, but I would never grab a Ouija board and start playing with it just in case.
Yeah, be better safe than sorry, right?
You know? Yeah. So, although I did run over someone's Ouija board with my car once, I heard that's bad luck.
Oh, really? But, I don't know. Like, I crossed the road after a black cat crossed the road, and I heard that's bad luck too, but that's been more than 10 years ago, and so far, finger crossed, you know. Like,
yeah, I don't take much heed to any of that stuff, like no. The black cats and the walking under a ladder.
Yeah, I'm not superstitious. Yeah,
breaking a mirror.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I would like to talk to you now about your idea, like, you know, your project, Semi-Informed. Like, can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to make a video game podcast for quite a while. I listened to a lot of video game podcasts myself, probably about 7 different video game podcasts throughout my week, or I used to. Now it's time's a bit more divided and my tastes are a bit more divided, but so anyways, I'd always be listening to video game podcasts thinking I could do this. And what was holding me back was just the initial investments. And you know all about those. I had to get a computer, get a mic. Really, those were the big two. Camera, just in case I wanted to do that side of things. So all of a sudden, I just kind of got the motivation to put it all together one day. And I grabbed all that stuff, did a couple of test episodes. In the beginning, the episodes were very rough, you know, they a lot more ums and uhs and
like me.
you got to find your footing. They say that until you're like 10 episodes in, it's not even worth keeping them. Like they say to trash the first 10 episodes. So if you would decide to do that, I'll have to come on episode 11. We'll do this again.
But I don't think I will trash it, because believe it or not, it's going better than I thought. Like the audio is still not the best, although since last episode I got a better microphone, so it's going better. And I got a few feedbacks from you also, and other people said that the audio wasn't bad, and my talking, despite of course my thick accent and my probably thick pronunciation, you know, like the episode was smooth and the topics were fine. So I mean, like I feel encouraged, and your podcast is kind of an inspiration to mine, you know, having a friend that does.
Thank you.
So I mean, like, that's why I wanted you as a guest here, because talk, you know, about your experience and stuff like that, which to me is important, you know.
Yeah, and on my podcast, I took a break as well. Like last November, I kind of stopped and I didn't pick it back up until about March of this year. So I did take a break. Sometimes when you even miss one episode, it's easy to kind of get anxiety about recording the next one. And that's kind of what happened to me, was I really had to motivate myself to get back into it. So when I did decide to get back into it, I bought a notebook and I started taking better notes on games I was playing and just other pieces of news as they would come up. And I still have a very loose structure. I don't give the news word for word when it comes to video game stuff. You know, sometimes I'll be like, well, this guy said this. I don't know what his position is. You can look that up, but he's high up at this company. I don't look up every single detail, just because I put into my podcast what I think is actually necessary. Mm-hmm. That's not to say podcasts that give greater amounts of detail are doing it wrong. I think they're absolutely doing it right. Good sources of information. Mm-hmm. Mine's just kind of a different, more casual spin. And as of right now, it is just me. So you'll see some episodes where I have friends or co-hosts on. But it is just me now, which is tough in and of itself to sit there at the computer and talk to yourself.
Oh, yeah, I cannot do that. I can't
30 minutes to an hour.
I cannot do that. That's why my podcast is an interview style podcast, where I interview people about different topics, you know, like passions, hobbies, and lifestyle. And I figured that like video gaming and comic book reading, watching science fiction movie could be, it's a lifestyle, like the nerd lifestyle. So, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, what's your favorite video game?
Favorite video game
of all time?
It's a tough question, because all time, like there's different eras in video game.
True.
So like your Super NES era, your 64, like some of the games I like now couldn't exist without those older games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I'm asked what my favorite video game is, like Zelda, A Link to the Past is one of my favorite Super Nintendo games. You know, Zelda Ocarina of Time, of course, when you move over to 64, the Zelda franchise being kind of a staple here. So with the new one, Breath of the Wild, I really enjoyed that. So I say Zelda, but the story hasn't evolved very much in the Zelda series, right? Back in the Super Nintendo days, we weren't expecting a lot of story in our games. And then, and so now that's changed. There's a lot of really good story-driven games. So I'm going to list a few games that are not necessarily my favorites. It's just like having a favorite color, you know?
Yeah.
I like the color blue, blue shirt, but I'm not going to want to look at blue all the time, right? Yeah. I like, when people ask me what my favorite color is, I say, I like colors that complement each other, like in groups. So I like to see like blue and green together, or like, you know, purple and teal. I like multiple colors. And I think that's the same kind of concept, if it makes any sense, for video games. Like, I like a bunch that all have, no game is perfect. No game has it all. So like, I'm going to talk about Fortnite for a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this kind of transitions to a good game somebody can get into if they're not a gamer. which is kind of your situation, right? You don't play games currently, but maybe you're thinking of getting into something.
I'm playing FIFA, you know, like, or Pro Evolution Soccer. I'm from Italy. Soccer is life here, you know, like is life there. So I mean, like, for me, playing Pro Evolution Soccer is like an everyday thing, but like probably 10-15 minutes, like just to relax a little bit, you know, like, and seeing how well I could do with my team, which is an underdog team, you know. So yeah, that's escape from reality, because my team is not very good right now. So
yeah, you get the choice to make them good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome. So Fortnite. Okay, a lot of people would, especially now, because it's a popular game to hate on, because kids like it. A lot of kids really enjoy Fortnite. But this is a game that has become one of my favorites because my kids love it so much, and it's something I can play with them. So the experience of playing with my kids has made me love this game. So it's a cross-platform game. If you have a computer, a PlayStation, an Xbox, Switch, an iPad, a mobile phone, you can get this game and play it. And you can play with people on any of those systems together, cross play, which is, you know, between consoles or devices. So full cross play on everything with microphone support and all that. So it was easy especially when this pandemic started and we were all kind of stuck at home. I bought 3 headsets. I was like, all right, boys, we're going to play Fortnite together. And we all just got on different devices and we all have our own accounts and we all play together. So it's become one of my favorites to that, but this is a reason why this is a great game, because you can literally connect to anybody who plays games on any devices. You can grab a party of four people you haven't talked to in a while, whatever it is, you can say, hey, as long as you can convince them to play Fortnite, which has a bit of,
you might convince me, like, you know, when I'm bored and, I would have probably more things to talk about, you know, like in my podcast, because it sounds interesting, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, being held back by barrier, like if I play on PlayStation, you can only play PlayStation games with me. I'm happy that that's a thing that is getting kind of tossed aside. The invisible walls are breaking down on that, and cross play is becoming a thing. So more people can play together.
Yeah.
What do you play Pro Evolution Soccer on?
Oh, my gaming laptop.
Okay. Yeah, so you play that on your laptop. There's a lot of great deals, by the way, for PC and laptops.
Yeah,
so.
I use Steam. I got it from Steam, which is great, because there's a lot of, and I didn't download yet video games other than Pro Evolution Soccer, but there are a lot of offer that comes to me, like, you know, $3. I actually want to download my favorite game or my favorite character, which is Pac-Man. I love Pac-Man. I used to have records. Like, my dad is my master for Pac-Man. He's great. And I still have a record. I think last time I went to the Barry movie theater, there was a Lady Pac-Man where I established a new record a few years ago. And last time I went last year, it was still there. So, I mean, like,
oh yeah, that's awesome, dude. That's awesome.
I know. I love Pac-Man. And I think I would like to, everything is, you know, like, everything depends from work. Like, I'm right now, like, I've been lucky that my company didn't close, was deemed as essential during the pandemic. So I went to work every day and we actually got busier. We are in a manufacturing side that keeps really busy. It's mining machinery manufacturing. So I was busy, and sometimes and I work at the computer 8-9 hours a day. So it's kind of hard to go back to computer after 9 hours of planning at the computer, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. It's not the exact same for me, but I definitely have hobbies to break that up and get outside. As you know, that I like to take my longboard out and just do a little tour around town.
Yeah. I go for walks and hikes, you know, like to get out of the routine.
Yeah. So definitely getting out when you've been in front of the computer for so long is a good idea. Getting up, taking breaks from the screens and just getting out there.
Although for the fear of meeting other people at the beginning of the pandemic, above all, because you never know what could happen, I didn't go out much, and I figured that I gained weight. I never been a small kid, but I gained some weight during pandemic. So now it seems like the numbers are under control in this area, I am spending more time out, like, you know, going for walks or hikes or just, you know, like even a little walk around the neighborhood just to break, you know, like to rest your eyes and rest your mind, you know, like, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, video game is something I want to get back, because I know that like during the winter that I don't, that we have cold winters here, I don't go out. I really need to find a hobby, and podcasting is one. I watch a ton of YouTube. Like I haven't been into YouTube in some years, and from this winter I don't know why I love binge watching YouTube.
Yeah, it's weird to see how kids prefer YouTube to TV shows, you know. That's since having my little guys, that's something that really trying to figure out a word to describe it.
Yeah, no worries.
It's something to really be analyzed though, like, because TV shows, the production values and the really thoughtful content you have to assume that goes into them. And then we have someone making a YouTube video, you know, I'm sure a lot of thought goes into that too, but certainly like not as much, but they'd rather see that homemade video, that content that comes from a person. And I think that's a lot of why adults like podcasts too. Personally, yeah. Like I listen to podcasts because, and I listen to specific ones because I know that they're not like, they don't have network sponsors to adhere to. They're not, no one's going to cancel your podcast. Like if you say the wrong thing, people might stop listening, but your podcast's not going to get canceled.
Yeah, no.
You're in control of your content, and the people I listen to are in control of theirs. So, like, I listen to Bill Burr's podcast, where he pretty much just says whatever he wants, and listen to him do his ad reads are hilarious because he will say whatever he wants about that sponsor. And then the next week he'll come back and be like, oh, yeah, that sponsor just dropped me last week. They couldn't handle my read. Mm-hmm. So he's tamed it. Yeah, calmed it down a little bit, but it's funny to hear that that type of thing. So yeah, like him, of course, like Joe Rogan, mm-hmm. and then like all the video game podcasts that I listen to.
See, I haven't started yet with video game podcasts. As I said, like I used to be really into YouTube when I was younger, like, you know, like to in my high school, 2005, 2007, when YouTube in Italy was actually becoming famous, and then, you know, like first years of university, 2008 and 2009, you know, like, and I was still learning English. I couldn't really have a podcast back there, even if I wanted, because I couldn't speak this English, you know, like I learned the most when I moved to Canada, but I learned also in the past when I traveled, you know, when somewhere else in the United States or in England. And I remember watching a ton of Smosh at the time. Really, yep. Like Anthony, when Anthony and Ian were the only two of them, and I remember, like they were cracking me. Also, yep. A lot of Red and Link, which I started again to list to, like last year to get back into this stuff. I don't know why. I just got an ad on Facebook about a Smosh video. Yep. I kept following Smosh. It's my child. It's kind of my teenagers here. You know, YouTube channel. So I kind of kept following a little bit, but not much as before I was into. And last summer I started to watch a few videos, and I kind of like their new format. Like they're not everything is funny, but most of things that they do now with more actors, it's funny.
Yeah.
So I kind of enjoy the kind of a little bit nerd things that they do, you know, like, or, you know, like the new format, they try not to laugh. A few jokes there, they kind of crack me. So, and I like their podcast. Like, I think one of the first videos I've seen after I started again to follow them.
Yeah.
I never really stopped completely. I never really unfollowed them. But again, like I stopped a little bit with YouTube in the years because of work, you know, like doing other stuff, you know, like work the most. And yeah. I like their podcast because it's general. Like they talk about different topics, and that's what I kind of take inspiration. I like their podcast. I like podcast. I don't know if you know Elliot Morgan.
No, I haven't heard him.
is one of the Valley cast. So it's Steve Zaragoza, Joe Beretta, and Elliot Morgan.
Okay.
They are really good. Like, and I listen to the Valley cast, which is really good. I listen to Red and Link podcast. I mean, they're awesome. Red and Link used to be awesome in my high school years, and they're awesome now. And I started recently to listen to a podcast from Nick Offerman, the guy that plays Ron Swanson in Parks and Recreation.
Yeah,
which, by the way, is one of the best shows I've ever seen.
How's this podcast?
Oh, I think it's fun. He does it from the bed with his wife, Megan Mullally. I don't know if I pronounced their name properly, like the last name Mullally or something. But they're funny.
I don't know. I'd have to look up a picture to know who that
is. They're funny. They're really funny.
I always worry, like, when celebrities make podcasts, is it going to be that fake type of sponsored content, or is it going to be like something original without somebody pulling the strings behind it? You know, I don't really trust celebrities too much, but Nick Offerman is a cool guy. So I'd actually be very interested in trying his out.
I wouldn't call him a celeb. I mean, yeah, he's a celebrity, of course, but like, I wouldn't call the celebrity type guy, because I mean, like, he's if you listen to what he has to say, like, he has a woodworking shop. Like, he actually has employees and working. Like what you see in Parks and Recreation, that woodworking, actually shop.
Funny, woodworking is actually a hobby of mine. I built, like
he's not Ron Swanson. Like he makes sure that he says like he's probably not a libertarian like Ron Swanson, but he shares some like hobbies with the guy, like a bowling whiskey or woodworking and some kind of, you know, like free thinking, because you know libertarians are well known for free thinking. So, you know, like he definitely, even if he's not, I don't know, like I didn't go and ask him, hey buddy, are you a libertarian? I really don't care what he supports, like really don't care. Yeah. But like he definitely shares some thoughts, some free spirit and free thinking of free Americans, you know, the good ones, though, not the hillbillies or rednecks, you know, like
yeah. Yeah, like the woodworking thing, I was just saying, I've built like almost every piece of furniture in my house, like other than my couch. I don't know how to build a couch, but like I built like this desk that I'm recording at, and coffee tables and TV stands and stuff. Like, it's actually kind of a hobby of mine too.
I would recommend you his podcast. Of course, he doesn't always talk about woodworking. There is his wife talks too, like, but they're really funny and it's very casual, to be honest.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Have you, because you're into YouTube, have you seen Jack Black's YouTube channel?
No, not yet. I have to check. I've seen Josh Peck YouTube channel. I kind of like it, to be honest.
Yeah, Jack Black's is technically a gaming channel, but he doesn't do a ton of actual gaming on it. It's pretty funny. Like, if you like his style of comedy, it's not bad. And you were asking me some good comedy stuff to watch, so
yeah,
go take a look at his YouTube channel.
Okay, I will. Should I like Jack Black.
Should we bring it back around to games for like a hot minute?
You're right. Yeah. Sorry.
Back to the nerd stuff.
Yeah,
I guess this is all nerd culture, right? But
I mean, like binge watching shows, not really. I would say, but it depends what the show is about, but. Sorry, I completely went out of topic. I'm sorry about that.
You know? No, it's all good. Like this, we're not like on a schedule. We're not like, you know, we don't have everything laid out. There's nothing we have to stick to, right? We could talk about anything. There's so much to talk about. Mm-hmm. And YouTube and stuff, that is all nerd culture technically.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about that term like nerd earlier and addressed it, and yeah, it definitely used to be something like you think, oh, that guy's a nerd, and certainly it means different things to different people. And I've never even gone around and be like, well, I'm a nerd, but
no, so I don't use it to describe myself either, although I am a big nerd for something, but like I don't describe myself first thing I introduce to a person, oh, by the way, I'm a nerd. No, that I don't do it, you know, like,
yeah, you know, man, I think that the term just kind of represents somebody who's like fanatic, maybe fanatic, but really like into a community or a culture, right? Like, I think sports fans are nerds personally.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a sports fan, you know everybody in the league. You've got jerseys and decorations all in your room or whatever. Guess what, man? You're a nerd. Like, it's you're nerding out on this thing. You're going and learning information that is deeper than the average person would know about this topic. And that's kind of like me with video game culture and everything. But it, you know, it doesn't all associate. Life for me is not like the Big Bang Theory.
Okay, or, no, definitely.
You know, I'm not like into like every comic book as well as the video games and stuff. Like, it's just, I pick like one side of the culture. So I'm just into like video games. I really like board games and where board games have come in the last few years. And just nothing beats like a social board game night with your friends. I should invite you out when we get them started again. If you're interested.
That would be great. Like, I haven't played board games in a while. I've never been into a lot of board games. I was into, I don't know if we can call it a board games, Dungeons and Dragons, more like a society game. Sorry for the noise, but I have my phone somehow, it's silent, but it's vibrating. So sorry about that.
I can't even hear it.
Okay, that's great. But yeah, board games. Then I tried Warhammer and Warhammer 40K. Those were my things when I used to paint those little models. You know, like,
yeah,
it was cool. Then I played one that was about the Lord of Rings, which is another big thing that I love. I would say, like, if I have three things I like, is like Marvel and the Avengers, Dragon Ball, and the manga culture, like Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, Digimon. I was one of the few kids that was more into Digimon than Pokemon.
Yeah, I like Naruto, but I was a Pokemon guy for sure too.
Yeah, I don't dislike Pokemon. I think that their video games is great, but as a cartoon, as a show, I like better Digimon than Pokemon, actually.
Yeah, you know, when I was younger, I don't think I ever gave Digimon a chance.
It's so good. I love it.
Pokemon I always liked, but I only played the first game and the newest game. Mm-hmm. And the newest game I didn't even like that much. So in terms of games, like, I really liked Red and Blue, but as it's gone on, I haven't been paying attention to the video game side of Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I watched that run of the show when I was younger, and I really haven't come back to it. My kids are into it now.
Okay, so that's good.
So they watch the old show on Netflix sometimes. But like for anime, for sure, I like Naruto. I really like My Hero Academia for like new stuff and One Punch Man.
Never watched it.
And, yeah.
I'm more into the classic, like Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z. The only new thing I watched is the Dragon Ball Super, which is good, but not as good as the old Dragon Balls, of course. Naruto, as I said. Digimon, and then old stuff like Captain Tsubasa, which is about soccer, and there are a few others, old ones like the big robots like Voltron or Daitan. There are so many. I grew up watching anime. It's a big thing for me. And then of course, like, I love Star Wars and I love The Lord of Rings.
Yeah, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings are both really great. A lot of people didn't like the new Star Wars movies.
I didn't, actually. I didn't myself.
See, I'm weird. I'm the type of guy who will go see like a new Star Wars movie, and I'll really enjoy it when I'm actually watching it. And then later I'll hear more of the reasons not to like it. And I know I should form my own opinions, but then those things will start to make sense. And it gets a bit cheesier every time you see it. But
I can tell you, I fell asleep at The Last Jedi. The second last, I kind of fell asleep.
It was a long movie, though.
I didn't like it. I liked better the last one. Now I forgot the title, but the last Star Wars, the Rise of Skywalker, was good. A little bit of fan service, but not bad. They kind of go back a little bit to the regular Star Wars. But I think the old ones, of course, episode 4, 5, and 6 are the best. And I'm a person that doesn't dislike the prequels. A lot of people hate on the Phantom Menace, and I kind of like it because one of my favorite characters in the Phantom Menace, which is Darth Maul. I love Darth Maul.
Yeah, I have a tattoo of General Grievous on my leg. So. Yeah,
so I mean, you like the prequel too, I guess.
Yeah, I like the characters for sure. Yeah. I thought, like, of course, like Darth Maul and Grievous, like, were very cool characters. Count Dooku, he's kind of...
Yeah, I don't know if it's okay with if it's the same for you, but I identify more with the Sith than the actual Jedi. I don't identify with the Jedi of the prequel because they're kind of like religious oligarch. Like they preach the good, but I don't think they behave I don't think they behave as they preach, to be honest.
Maybe if there was more middle ground, you know.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen Clone Wars?
Yeah, everything.
I forget what it's described as, but like Ahsoka's character is not quite a Jedi, right?
A gray Jedi, or if you read the books, before Jedi and Sith were divided, there was an old order called the Jedi, it's written different from Jedi. It's written Jedi, something like that. I have one of those origin books that now are, for these, they're not canon anymore, but I don't care. They're great books.
Yeah.
And explain how this old order didn't dislike the darkness or didn't preach the light. We're just like, you got to find the balance between light and darkness, because a person is never all light or is never all darkness. It should find the balance between the two. And I found it very interesting. It's like reading a Bible or reading a religious book, but without having a faith. So I find it very informative, you know?
Yeah. Now, like for Star Wars, by the way, Ahsoka is such a great character.
Oh, yeah. I love
it. And
Ahsoka.
Clone Wars is a really fantastic show. The Skywalker saga, which is like the original three, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the new trilogy, I mean, original three are pretty untouchable. I don't like how when they're making the new Star Wars movies, though, everybody in the galaxy is like somehow related to Luke Skywalker. I just don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. That's one of the reasons I think the last trilogy is kind of messed up in some way. Not everything, but it is, and everything is focused on the Skywalker when there is so much more of Star Wars than just the Skywalker.
Yeah. And, well, it's a galaxy, right? Like, yeah, there's stories to be told. Why does it all have to connect back to this? Like,
why nobody mentioned the Old Republic, the old Jedi Order, where everything? Like, I have to say that the new ones at least say that Jedi are not always good. Like, and I remember the dialogue between. And that was actually the movie that I didn't like, The Last Jedi. But there is a dialogue between the Force Ghost of Yoda with Luke Skywalker. Then they talk that, like, when he's burning, you know, like Jedi books or Jedi artifacts, like, and they talk about like how Jedi made mistakes and were wrong on a lot of positions. So I mean, at least they acknowledge that, which has never been acknowledged in other Star Wars movies.
Yeah. I just, to bring it back to what I was saying there, yeah. I just don't, you know, it's not giving the fans credit because they assume we're not going to enjoy the new content unless it links back to characters we already know. Like, can I give a spoiler to The Last Jedi? Is it like, you think enough time has passed?
Well, it's been 3 years almost.
Yeah.
2 years. Yeah, I think.
Skip ahead 3 minutes if you don't want to hear a spoiler. But like Rey being Palpatine's like granddaughter or whatever, it was his granddaughter or his daughter.
Yeah.
Why? Like, why did that need to be? I would have been happier if she was just a random person in the galaxy. Connecting it back to Palpatine is like the thread that just breaks the immersion entirely for me.
I kind of liked it, but I think they should have done a better job in the relation. I think they haven't they haven't explained anything, and like, did Palpatine actually had sexual relationship with anybody? I mean, like, that's kind of, I mean, like,
imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, like, whatever. I'm not gonna get into that, but I think they didn't do a great job in explaining, and I agree with you. Somehow, it would have been nice if the Force was with everybody, not only with certain families. Like, Force shouldn't be exclusive. Force should be something that everybody could reach, you know, like.
What I didn't really like is I think they built up a mystery of who Rey was from The Last Jedi on. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they knew who they were going to make Rey connected to. I honestly don't think they knew from that movie to what was the new one again? Rise of Skywalker?
No, the Rise of Skywalker. No, Last Jedi is the second last, and Rise of Skywalker is the last one.
So the last one. I just don't think they knew what they were going to do from that first one to the last one.
They didn't have a plan. Like, it was supposed to be J.J. Abrams directing the whole trilogy, and then they decided to go with different directors, which is it's okay if you have a plan, but if you don't have a plan, then every director is gonna have its own vision, and it doesn't work like that, you know.
I like J.J. Abrams.
I like J.J. Abrams too. Yeah,
there's a show he's working on, I forget what it's called, but I saw a trailer for it. Him and Jordan Peele
are
making a show together, which looks really cool, like kind of like a small town supernatural kind of mystery show. There's some sort of like creature in it.
Why does it sound like Stranger Things?
It's got a bit of a vibe, you know. Stranger Things, and that is a fantastic show.
I didn't like it, and it's been pseudo ready for plagiarism again, you know.
Who did they have plagiarized?
I don't know. The whole thing reminds of various book of Stephen King. The whole environment there, you know, like, I don't know, like, I personally found a lot of plagiarism from different books of Stephen King, but that's just my opinion. I didn't read the whole news. I just saw that the show has been, or Netflix has been sued, because I think it's a Netflix show. So I'm not too sure. I will look into that. I
feel like there's not a case there, man. I don't think that much in Stranger Things. Like, I didn't get that vibe at all. Mm-hmm. But I've read a bunch of Stephen King books.
Oh, same. Yeah, I don't know. I feel that there is a little bit of vibe, the little town that has, you know, mysteries and stuff like that. Like,
well, that's not stuff like that's not plagiarizable stuff. There's like a lot of stories that have that.
I guess I haven't got into the show. So I mean, it would be actually for me impartial to say it's bad or is a good show, because I watched a couple of episodes and I didn't get into it. So I thought, oh, I don't like that. Maybe if I watch it again, I didn't like The Office, for example, at the beginning. And then I watched it and I think it's one of the best shows. So, I mean, like, for me, it's all about get into the first two episodes. If I don't get into the first episode or the first two episodes, I get a little bit doubtful, but I should pass this. I should try again, you know, like, for a lot of things, because I told you at the beginning, I didn't like The Office or Parks and Recreation because the first two episodes were kind of boring. And now I think that they're two of the best shows I've ever seen, you know, like.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, but they're both great.
Going back to video games, because we started this with video games and then we started to talk about various things. And that's my fault because I went so on so many topics. So
we're allowed to. It's okay, man. It just means have me on again to talk more about video games later.
It's a spontaneous podcast, you know, like, that's what I like of podcasts. They are very spontaneous, you know. There's no script, or there's no, you know, like, yeah, there could be a schedule of topics, but like, that's what we didn't do, you know, like, which is okay, you know. It's spontaneous. That's, I like that.
Save the schedules for the TV networks. We're podcasting here. Yeah, we're the Wild West.
It's not a radio station, right? I mean, like, it's not a TV station. It's not a radio. But yeah, going back to video games, because we both like Star Wars. Do you like Star Wars video games?
There's some really great ones, and there's some not so great ones. So like Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
That's a great game, I guess.
Yeah, well, that game is one of my absolute favorites. It's developed by BioWare, Canadian developer. Used to be very, very high tier developer. Mm-hmm. Knights of the Old Republic was a fantastic game. I was bummed out when I was finished it. I missed the characters, which is always a sign for me of like a really great game when you miss spending time with those characters in that world. And yeah, like the Jedi Outcast series for PC from back in the day, and Super Star Wars. And as of lately, there was Jedi Fallen Order, which is a fairly new...
Yeah, I played a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Actually.
It was fine. I got a little tired of it later through the game, and I never finished it. I got very close and attempted a couple of times to take a run at it, but mm-hmm. I never finished it, and I'm okay with putting it down at this point in time. Mm-hmm. But...
I liked it, but I didn't play enough. Just played the demo from Steam, and it was, I think it was good, better than a lot of video games I played in the past. But again, I don't have the middle experience of PS3, PS4. I stopped pretty much. No, I had a PS3, but not for, I had a GameCube, I had a PS3. But yeah, I stopped long ago. So I figured like this new modern video game, oh my God, it's so realistic. I like it. So that's why I want to get back. And that was a game that I like. Of course, I just played the demo, so I don't know how the story developed, but I thought it was interesting. Although I love Knights of the Old Republic because that's an old game and I played that. So I mean,
yeah, well, EA has the Star Wars license now, and I think that's exclusive for that publisher. And so they've been honestly squandering it just a bit. Like the Battlefront games have not been great. They were pumped out, I think, for speed. They had a really prolific developer, Amy Henning, mm-hmm. on board to make a story-based Star Wars game, and they scrapped that and got
rid
of her.
Which would have been interesting, I would say.
And she was a lead on the Uncharted series, which is of like a big series in gaming, so to scrap her game is a bit offensive.
Yeah, Uncharted is something that I've been told many times that is really good. I haven't played it, but the videos that I've seen on YouTube, they seem really, really good, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like adventuring type stuff. Good games developed by Naughty Dog, which are like the top echelon of developer. Mm-hmm. Did you watch that trailer I sent you the other day?
You know what? I actually fell asleep last night.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't watched, but I watched the one, the second one. Was that The Last of Us?
The Last of Us 2?
Yeah, that seems interesting, to be honest.
Yeah, that's Naughty Dog. They're the Uncharted developer.
A little bit creepy, actually. I mean, seems like very well done, you know?
Yeah.
I saw the other one you sent me, unfortunately, I fell asleep while I was watching TV, so I haven't watched it yet. Sorry.
Oh, The Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
That's what I'm playing now. That's like a samurai game. Very, very beautiful world, they do an interesting thing where instead of having a map guide you, the wind blows towards your objective, and you'll see like leaves on the wind and stuff. So you follow the wind to get to wherever you want to go.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And those are both PlayStation games. Mm-hmm. The Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima. So
now that we're getting towards I think we eventually have to wrap it up because I wouldn't want to have a 2 hours podcast. I mean, I think that, they know people patience stops around 30, 35 minutes. Although podcasts, most podcasts are an hour long or 45.
That was the problem with Star Wars, right? They just made it too long.
Yeah.
That's why you fell asleep.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only Star Wars I fell asleep. But actually, a lot of people hate on Solo and Rogue Squadron. And I kind of like both. The Solo, they could have done something better, but I figured that the casting was good and the story was interesting, was catchy. So
I thought Solo was good. Weird to have Darth Maul show up at the end for no reason.
That's why now they announced another couple of series on Disney Plus about the Bad Batch. I think they will acknowledge what happened to Darth Maul after the last season of the Clone Wars, which I'm not gonna spoil because it's still very recent, but after those events, I figured that we need an explanation of why Darth Maul is in there.
Rogue One, by the way, I thought was one of the best Star Wars movies.
I loved it.
Of course, everybody kind of unanimously agrees that Empire Strikes Back is the best. Mm-hmm. Rogue One might be number two, might be the second best, in my opinion.
I have. Empire Strikes Back, A New Hope. I love the that's the first Star Wars for me. That's the Star Wars. So A New Hope is a second. People are gonna hate me, but I'm gonna put that as a third. The first, you know, like The Phantom Menace. Like, I know that movie is hated by so many people. I like it because it's where they introduced Darth Maul, which is one of my favorite character. And then I put Rogue One.
And my favorite Star Wars character, personally, Jar Jar Binks is in that one. So
is he Jar Jar? I think Jar Jar Binks is funny. A lot of people hate on
Jar Jar Binks.
He's funny, and I think he's secretly a Dark Force user. I think he's a Sith.
Yeah, I love that theory Sith Lord.
Not even a Sith. I don't know if you watch the other TV show from Disney Plus. Yeah, it's from Disney, like the other Star Wars Rebel.
I haven't seen that one yet.
That's a great show because they describe what a great Jedi is. They use a little bit of darkness and a little bit of light. And there is a creature in the planet where they land. I don't want to give too much spoilers, but it's not a very recent show. But there is a creature that is able to use both, and he's mastering those two main characters that now I forgot names. One is Ezra, which is a Padawan, and the master now, I forgot the name, because his voice is also at the end of the Rise of Skywalker, one of the voices that talks to Rey at the end. The guy, and I forgot his name. He's a great Jedi master. He sacrificed himself, like, he's great. Like, I love that guy. I forgot his name somehow. Anyway,
the conversation just gravitates back to Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just it's just a great universe. Anyway, like, wrapping things up, like,
can I say one more thing about Star Wars? It'd be like a crime to not acknowledge how good The Mandalorian is before talking about Star Wars.
Jon Favreau did an amazing job. Yeah,
Jon Favreau is an amazing dude in general, man. Like, have you seen the movie Chef?
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite movies. Are you kidding me? That movie's so great.
That movie, like, it's not like very content rich. Like, if you were to describe the plot to someone, it's not that big of a plot. That movie just makes me feel so good when I watch it, and it makes me want to cook too.
Yeah, I started to make my sandwiches after seeing the movie. Like, I watched it a few years ago, and I watched it like around a month ago, and I started to make my I started to get more I already knew how to make pizza and bread. I'm from Italy, for God's sake, you know, like, I know how to, but it made me, I was kind of lazy, was being lazy. So that night after watching the movie, I started to bake. I had flour, I had everything I needed to bake bread, so I baked bread, and that movie makes you feel good. Yeah,
I became a master bread maker during COVID. It was my sourdough.
Yeah, you make sourdough, which is a different style, you know. I gotta try that.
But, you know, making that movie, he became like a really good chef because of his training he got.
I think he was already making good that chef. He was already decent home cook. Then after that, he became
I forget what the chef's name is. I should know this information, but a very popular food truck chef, like, mentored him and taught him to cook, making that movie. And he became like he escalated to like being a very good chef. And so he has a show, Chef Show, on Netflix too.
Yeah, I watched that. It's a pretty good show as well.
And so I just think that's cool. I don't know how a person has the time to maintain and learn how to be like a top tier chef, like, well, not like, you know, not like Gordon Ramsay, but like a really good chef, as well as a director and an actor, and do have all these things that you're working on.
I figure it's the same way how actors keep so in shape, because they don't act every time. I mean, like, they have so much time to go to the gym, to, you know, to keep in shape, to rest. I mean, like, I figure like actors, are not always busy. They're busy when they have to play, when they have to, you know, to record, but they're not that busy when they are off jobs, you know, like when they're in between movies. So I figure that, like, instead, I mean, like, Jon Favreau is a little bit like me. He's a big guy. Like, he likes food like I do. So, I mean, like, I figure, like, when he wasn't acting, I think he was actually learning how to be a chef, how to cook. So I think that's where he found the time.
But writing and directing too, and all that, and The Mandalorian. The show is
he didn't write though. He created, like, then I think he has different directors every episode. If you watch it. So, but he's a creator. He's amazing.
Yeah, and I think Taika Waititi had an episode or two. And
also, Bryce Dallas Howard
I saw that. Yeah, she did an episode as well.
If you check on Disney Plus, there is a nice documentary on how they made. And one of the heads of the show is also Dave Filoni, which is the guy that works on creation of the Clone Wars. So, like, you cannot go wrong with Dave Filoni.
And Taika Waititi's character, I forget his name, but that droid.
Yeah.
That was like my favorite part of the whole show is that character. And I guess there's spoilers about that character. So I won't really
such an amazing character.
Talk about the end of it, but.
And I love the casting. I think like the guy that played the Mandalorian is an amazing actor, who is also the guy that played the villain in the Watchmen, the Kingsman 2.
I wanted to see those movies, but I never did.
Kingsman is an amazing graphic novel and two amazing movies, to be honest.
I gotta see them. Dude, those trailers, I've seen the trailers for 1 and 2, and those movies look sick. I gotta get in on that.
The wrap up of the podcast, which I think would have to change title on Star Wars and other things, because we really, really talk about Star Wars a lot.
I gotta say, have you watched the Watchmen series yet?
I used to have Crave, and I took it off before the series. So I think I gotta watch the Watchmen TV show because it looks sick.
Get yourself a few episodes in though, because it is, you won't know what's going on in the beginning. You'll be kind of boring right off the hop. It takes about 4 episodes, I'd say, to get really into that one, and then you'll be invested.
I'm a very political person, although this podcast shouldn't be about politics, but I think The Watchmen is one of the best graphic novel, if you like politics, like the whole fascist versus liberal, or fascist versus communist, or communist versus liberal thing that going on in that graphic novel. Like, it makes you think, I personally don't have a problem to share. Like, I grew up in a very left-wing family back home in Italy, where socialism is not a threat like Americans or North Americans think. Like, I wouldn't define myself as a socialist, but because I take ideas from every political side, except when they are extreme. So, I mean, like, I don't take racism or genocide as I would take into myself. But I mean, like, I figure that like politics is something that should be talked about to kids, and graphic novels and comic books are a good way to learn something about the current world, and without being too involved at the beginning in news and political debates, you know.
Yeah, well, Watchmen is definitely like that original graphic novel and the Zack Snyder movie. They're both very good.
Yeah, I think the same author of V for Vendetta. For a comic book.
Yeah, you know, like I can't.
British author. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Should we wrap up?
Yeah, we should wrap up. I have a few, you know, I want to do some kind of like questions, you know, like very straight answer. Like,
sure.
Favorite movie?
Ninja Turtles 1989.
Great. Favorite comic books, if you have one?
I'd probably actually say Watchmen, the graphic novel,
yeah.
or Spider-Man,
okay. Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Okay.
Even though Watchmen is DC, Marvel has the better stable.
I would say so too. Favorite video games? Favorite video game? We already said like you don't have one, but if you have to pick one.
I'm going to say one I didn't even say before, Dark Souls.
Oh, nice job. I heard about that. My old roommate played that. I know it's pretty good. I think you know my old roommate Tanner.
I used to work
as a chef at Blue Mountain as well. So he used to be my old roommate. So I remember he's a very, very into video game. I should have probably invited him. Next time we invite him as well, talk about video games, you know.
Cool.
More about video games next time than this time. And the last question, probably like the most difficult, but and this is not a question that requires one straight answer, like you can articulate this answer.
Sure.
What video game would you suggest to somebody like me that is getting back into video, into the video game? Something simple, but that, you know, like it can be catchy for somebody like me that hasn't been into the video game world for a while.
Fortnite.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Yep. Let's say Fortnite for anyone who's getting back into it or just getting into it, because you can get it on any console, any platform, your phone, your iPad. You don't need to make much investment. You can, it's free. Mm-hmm. So there's literally, you could play with no investment, but that game is like your action figure closet, man. Mm-hmm. Captain America was a skin that you could download a couple weeks ago.
Okay, like I'm 4th sold.
Of July, they put the Captain America skin on the store. I have like Deadpool, Aquaman.
Nice.
I bought my kid the Black Manta skin because nice. It came up. I like the characters. Like I play as like a giant hot dog most of the mm-hmm. time. I like the characters that are just goofy mascot looking dudes. But
you know, like that's something I wanted to say before, and then we went off topic when you were talking about Fortnite. It sounds like... have you ever watched the movie Ready Player One?
Yeah.
It sounds like a demo of that world of the Ready Player. That's actually a great movie, one of my favorites.
If any game evolved into Ready Player One, it would be Fortnite. Because they also...
Oasis. I think Fortnite is a demo of the Oasis, you know?
They had a Travis Scott concert on there. Well, they did Marshmello and then they did Travis Scott.
Is Travis Scott the rapper?
Yeah.
The one that they also... played with Maroon 5 a couple of songs and stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm not too sure. Probably. Yeah. Cause I don't really listen to them. I listen to more old school hip hop. Like I think once you pass 30, it's way harder to get into new music. So I do like Travis Scott. I listen to a few of his songs and like, I like Juice WRLD and some of the other like new guys. Yeah. Rest in peace.
We would have
to him.
So many things to talk about. Like that. It's crazy. Like music is another thing that I will have a podcast about because it's part of my growth. Like I played guitar for years and I love music, but
yeah, well, there's my,
nice
drums in the studio here.
Nice.
So.
Very nice. Anyway, like, thank you, Chris, for being a guest, my first podcast. I wanted to make an announcement that probably the name of the podcast will change after episode 5, because this was just a trial for me. Like I explained already in the first episode why I called this my first podcast, because I'm not old, but I'm not so young anymore. I'm 32. This is the first time absolutely that I tried to do an audiovisual content online. And I didn't know what to call it. So a little bit of laziness, a little bit of lack of ideas. I called it my first podcast because that's how I felt. But like, I think after episode 5, we change the name that I don't have yet, but I'm working on it. So this is the second last episode of my first podcast.
Cool, man.
Thank you, Chris, for being here. It's been great. Like
thank you for having me.
I would say, guys, whoever listens to this, like go and check Chris's podcast, the Semi-Informed podcast, because it's so good. If you like video games, you'll find very informative, and he has an audio quality that is really, really professional. So
thank
I mean
man.
Like it will feel like listening to a professional podcast. And thank you guys for watching or listening to this. I am Gabriele Pucci and I stream on Anchor, but you can find my podcast all in any platform, which you can find in the major ones, Spotify, Google Podcast and Apple Podcast, and in many other minor platforms. I think same with Chris, because you stream on Anchor as well, right?
Yeah, I just switched. It's actually pretty decent, man. You're the one who got me into that, because like I was paying about $40 a month for hosting, and Anchor is free. In fact, they pay you a little bit. So
I
like the service so far.
Yeah, and I really want to have you again as a guest in one of the next podcasts when it will become the new with the new denomination, you know, like I would like to talk to you about a bit more about video games.
Sure. Yeah.
And maybe get a little bit more into YouTube and podcasting, because I feel that like you and I have different inspirations, but we kind of unify what we want to make with the podcast and with audiovisual contents, you know.
Like, yeah, man, I will be happy to be back. Just give me an invite and I'll
definitely
make it work.
But yeah, thank you everybody. Thank you, Chris, for being as a guest and thank you guys for being listening or watching the episode 4 of my first podcast. This is Gabe, your host, and see you next time. Bye, Chris.
Bye.